You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hey friends, I'm Dan Foster. I'm pastor and host of the radio program Grace Thoughts. Grace Thoughts is heard on this great radio station from Monday through Friday at 12 noon during the lunch hour. Remember Jeremiah's famous prayer to God, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart."
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West. My insurance knowledge and years of experience both in insurance and in life in general allow me to provide the right insurance advice to protect you, your family, your business. I am available at 871-6272 or on the web at insurepro.com. David Wilbur and InsurePro, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, known for quality advice and service.
When you're a Christian, just do what God's word says. When you're in a circumstance or a situation, when you're exercising life, there will be many of opportunity for you, many occasions where you're praying and asking God about something, and really God is saying, just do it.
Not an ordinary servant, I want to be more.
Welcome to Caption His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. Pastor Bernard and the rest of us at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship would like to wish you a very happy and blessed new year. As we look towards the coming year, we would like to encourage you to engage in practices that will promote spiritual growth. With this goal in mind, in today's program, we're going to enjoy a topical message that will help to establish a biblical framework for success in the upcoming year. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's message, Biblical Practices That Will Place You in a Position of Prosperity.
Well, I just want to give you some biblical practices. And I decided to make it, you know, it's biblical because it has to come from the Word of God. The principle that anyone stands in front of you to teach, whether it's a motivational speaker and even those that call themselves pastors, but they're nothing but motivational speakers, you got to make sure that they're teaching the Bible. So I took a lesson from Solomon as he received his instruction from David. So our first text will be 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. And then we're also going to move to Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. So there are some principles that I heard, that I saw, that I witnessed in Scripture and thought about and meditated on that I thought would be advantageous and beneficial for all of you. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4 will be our first starting spot, and then later we'll move to Joshua 1, 5, and 8. So having said that, let me read the text, and then I'm going to go into prayer. Let me read the text. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 to 4. If you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that thou doest, and whatsoever thou turnest thyself, and that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth and with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." Let's pray. Lord, you are the absolute teacher. We're grateful for the many provisions, especially salvation. But we're also grateful for the comforter, the teacher, the guide, your Holy Spirit, that will lead us to truth, that'll help us to apply the Word of God, all because of your marvelous grace. We ask your help. We ask that we would change from the instruction. We ask, oh God, that we be not just hearers of your instruction. Do it. Help us to execute it. Practice it. And by your grace, we'll practice it because we believe it. This is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, oftentimes, on a side note, when you're talking about biblical application and you're looking at the body of Christ, so often I want to go and invest in a bunch of Nike t-shirts. And with the Nike t-shirts, I want to give everybody a Nike t-shirt that will read the following: just do it. When you're a Christian, just do what God's word says. When you're in a circumstance or a situation, when you're exercising life, there will be many of opportunity for you, many occasions where you're praying and asking God about something, and really God is saying, just do it. Why are you praying about this? Why are you negotiating with me? Why you are pleading with me? I just want you to do it. And that's the heart, and you're going to see in our lesson, in order to be prosperous spiritually, to grow, to expand, is that there are going to be some specific things that God is going to ask you to do. And I can't wait, because at the close of our study, I can't wait to hear from this instruction that while you're out there doing the life of a Christian, that you find yourself not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. You're walking the walk in your marriage. You're walking the walk as a single. You're walking the walk as a young teenager, because you have made it a purpose to practice some principles. Yeah, I know. How do I make more money? How do I exercise in my stocks? How do I expand my house? How do I get a new car? How, it's easy to think about the tangible and the material, because we live in an opulent culture. We live in a world that people are identified with the size, the square footage of your home, or the kind of car that you drive, or what you have etched on your shirt. But to me, when I look at God, the Bible tells us in His Word that what man esteems and what we elevate, guess what God calls it? An abomination. So we want to elevate the scriptures in our lives, and the best way to do that is not just with your words, with living. So with our text, where David's at that place in his life, David's at that season, you know, David, who's never lost a military campaign. Read the scripture. I challenge you to find a place where David lost a military fight. He might have lost that big old fight, that giant fight with adultery and lust, but he never lost a fight when, ever since he slew Goliath. I find it very hard to find a passage that says he lost a fight. But David's at this season, great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. He's at that season, and now he's giving his son Solomon some final words of advice. As a new leader, a new season of government, a new season of leadership, a new directive for the people, old Solomon would be that new king. And as you find yourself walking into a new season, what new directives? What new principles? How should you govern yourself different, as it was already prayed, different than 2013? Well, here's what he said to his son Solomon. The Bible says he charged Solomon. This was not just something, hey, Solomon, if you kind of think about it, once you consider this. This was a directive. He set out a charge. Son, I ain't asking you to negotiate about this. I'm not asking you to question this. I'm not asking you to, would you please consider? I'm giving you a directive. And I'm giving you a directive because I know it works. I know it's true. It's the word of God. So he's charging him. When you charge somebody with a command, he's charging him to take heed. He's charging him to think about what he's getting ready to say. So there was no, I got my iPod, my iPad, my iPhone, and I'm all distracted. There was no distractions. There was no other, he was focused. So zero in, son. What do you have to say, son? I got something to say to you, son. Here's what he said. I'm getting ready to go the way of the earth. Pause for a second. He's telling him he's getting ready to die. He's come to terms with that. He realized that his season is done. And he had no problem with it. He recognized this was it. But what do? Once we get that truth and we know that our time is coming to an end, we deny it. We ask God to change his mind about it. We do a whole host of things, but David had come to this place that he recognized that the inevitable. He recognized, like all men, he is the mighty king of Israel, the Goliath slayer, majestic, successful king, a king after God's own heart, had enough presence of mind to know. He knew that his time was over. And he knew a reality that regardless of what station you enjoy in life, no matter how you have accomplished or achieved or exercised this world that you live in, whether if you are a Nobel Peace Prize winner or an Olympic champion or all professional athlete, we all have this one place, we all have this one season where we will die. Are you ready? We know in Scripture David was ready because he feared the Lord. But he knew, I'm going the way of the earth. That's what that means in verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. But here's your instruction. Be thou strong and show thyself to be a man. Strong. To strengthen, prevail, and to harden oneself. He's saying, Solomon, strengthen, fortify yourself. Be ready to prevail. Be strong. Be courageous. Be firm. Be resolute. You've made a New Year resolution. God saying to you this morning, be strong in it. You made a commitment to work on your marriage and change how you communicate. And God says, well, be strong in that. You say you're going to have more devotions. You're going to have more prayer time. You're going to say more things. You're going to be more of a loving husband. And you're going to be more of a leading husband that leads your wife to the things of God. And wife, you're going to get to that place where you've told God that I'm going to respect my husband. Whatever God has laid out for you to do this year, be strong in it. Be strong. And then he moves on. What kind of man? I need to talk about the man. He said, be strong and show yourself like a man. You know you got to qualify what a man is today, right? A man is not being out of control of your lusts and your hormones and your testosterone and propagating children outside of marriage. That don't make you a man. A man is not being able to amass wealth, 10,000 square foot homes and mansions all over the globe. That doesn't necessarily make you a man. And in today's culture, we need to know what a man is. Because masculinity has been taught by the media, influenced by the culture, that masculinity is evil and not good. Guess what happens because of that? We suspend the kind of biblical leadership that God has called us to do, and feminism takes the forefront. And people attack manhood in a biblical sense. Manhood should be, write the terms down, a man should be a servant. A servant. He's a champion. He fears God. Servant, champion, fears God. So Solomon, you need to be a man. A man don't back down from responsibility. A man don't make excuses. A man don't put on the blame hat and blame other things and blame other people for him not being consistent in his responsibility. If I ask every single sister in this fellowship, do you want to marry a man or a boy? It should be unanimous. But some of you end up marrying a boy, not a man. Be a man, he tells them. And he gives them a charge. What's the charge? Walk in his ways. Walk in a direction and a manner and a habit. A direction and a manner and a habit that's consistent with God. When you see commandments, judgments, testimonies, they're all synonymous and they all point to the commandments and the precepts or the ordinances of Almighty God. So what is he saying? Principle number one, practice spiritual strength. Practice spiritual strength. Two, manifest maturity. Manifest maturity. Those are two principles that we're going to work on. To move into prosperity, I need to practice spiritual strength. What does that look like? We know the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his life. And the Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ which what? Strengthens me. I'm not talking about your bench press. I'm not talking about how strong you are as a leader. But you need to exercise some spiritual strength, Solomon, because there are going to be some challenges in your life as a new king. There are going to be some challenges that mom and dad can't help you with. There are going to be some challenges where the people are going to need a strong leader, not someone who don't know what he's doing or where he's going. And when there's opposition, and you guys know when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, do you know opposition? You have an opponent. He's called Satan. And if you don't exercise any spiritual strength, he's just going to run over you like I do when I take my lawnmower and cut my grass. It's not, you notice, I notice the grass don't ever resist me. I just run right over it. And if you're not exercising spiritual strength, guess who runs all over you? Well, he lies to you as a Christian and tell you that you are weak and you are impotent and you can't do nothing and he's won. Spiritual strength, well, it comes with my trust in God. It comes with me submitting to the Spirit of God. How can I get spiritual strength if I don't ever read the Bible, I don't ever apply the Bible, I don't follow God's commandments, I don't apply his principles in my life? Because I've been duped to believe that I don't have to be keeping no law, so I don't have to be concerned about my moral obligations. Wrong! Yes, we're under Christ. Yes, we have grace. But adultery in the Old Testament is adultery in the New Testament. Is that right? To lie in the Old Testament is still to lie in the New Testament. Is that right? We must walk in who God's called us to walk in with obedience. So we practice some spiritual strength. He's saying, okay, be strong. Be strong. Be strong in your mind. Be strong in your emotions. Be strong. And you know what? We do need some physical strength, but the emphasis more is about spiritual strength. Okay, here's the thing. The devil is not intimidated by a spiritual wimp. Did you hear me? The devil is not intimidated by a spiritual, inconsistent, weak, minded Christian. See, that's the Christian that's forgotten who he is in Jesus Christ, and he or she have lost their identity and don't fully grasp and understand who they are in Christ Jesus. Did you guys know that you were all conquerors in Jesus Christ? Is that right? Did you all know that you're on the winning side, not the losing side? We need to think and act like it. Ain't he saying, hey, Solomon, be spiritually strong and manifest some spiritual maturity? There are just some things that you don't need to be still talking about. It's time to get into the deeper things of God. You got your salvation. Praise God. Let's move forward. Sanctification, justification, growing in your deepness and your walk with God, applying the principles to make a difference in this world, to change things. God walking in some manifest some maturity. If somebody confront you about something, don't have a conniption and say, you can't talk to me. If somebody confront you or you see a brother or sister fall or stumble, will that shipwreck your faith? Will that change your understanding of who God is? Especially when you are misunderstood in church. You're misunderstood. Exercise some spiritual strength. exercise, manifest some maturity. Again, he said, be strong, prove yourself to be a man, stop crying. Sometimes, I love you, but sometimes we have too many crybabies in church. You hear me? You know about the whining Christian? No, he did this for me. God's not doing that. He must not hear me. You're always talking about what God is not doing. And you whine about this, and you whine about that. If you're a parent, how long can you tolerate whining? God says, it's time for a lot of us at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship and this pastor, a lot of us, including the pastor, take off. You shouldn't have no spiritual diapers on now. You should be walking in victory. And some of you been in church, some of us have been a Christian for how many years? And you are still struggling, wrestling with the same old issue you had when you were a baby Christian. You know what I'm talking about. Move up. Walk in who you are in Jesus Christ. Walk in some maturity. Show yourself to be a man. Here's another principle. Be resolute to remember your representation. It's a big one. Be resolute to remember your representation and your responsibility as a Christian. He said, Solomon, keep the commandments, walk in my statutes, walk in my ways. Everybody say responsibility. What grieves God a lot is an irresponsible Christian. We should be responsible in how we communicate, how we engage, how we solve our problems, how we go through our crisis. And regardless of the magnitude of the crisis, and no matter what situation you find yourself in, you are still responsible to be a Christian first and foremost. Did you hear me? You have to be a Christian. That's your responsibility. And oftentimes, when you start telling the congregation about their spiritual responsibility, he think he getting a tire from me, he can forget it. He think he getting any kind of service out of me. All he wants to do is browbeat and beat me down. He don't ever want to encourage me. I'm encouraging you to be responsible as a Christian. How do you practice and where do you practice that responsibility? And where do you remember who you're representing? Are we not ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you just an ambassador on Sunday or every day out of the week? But here's what's interesting. When you are pressed on a job to compromise, are you not responsible to be allegiant, to be loyal, show your allegiance to your employer or your allegiance to your God? When you are called to be responsible with your wife, or the wife with your husband, and one of the spouses are being irresponsible in an area in their life, did not God call you to represent who in that situation? We represent the Lord. And I got, even this pastor, if I'm in a, we don't have arguments like I told you before, my wife and I have design disagreements, okay? You know why I call them, designate them as design disagreements? Because they're designed by Almighty God to develop you. Did you hear me? To develop you, to help you to communicate better and understand each other. So guess what? Stop walking around saying, we don't have no conflict as a husband and wife. Liar. Solomon was encouraged to be resolute and remember that as a king, show yourself, prove yourself to be a man, because you got great responsibility. You got a responsibility to lead the nation of Israel, and with great responsibility comes great a necessity to have great strength and great courage. To be a Christian, can I tell you? To be a follower of Jesus Christ, it requires great strength, great courage, great faith. And here's the blessing. God gives it to you. God gives it to you. You thought you got it by memorizing all those scriptures. You thought you got it by attending a certain denomination of church. Yeah, that works. That's some benefit in that. And that's part of it. That's a dynamic. However, don't you know you do nothing without God? By his grace and his goodness in your life that put these principles that you can practice them. So Solomon, be resolute to remember Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, be resolute to remember your representation, who you're representing, not Pastor Bernard King, not Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. You're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another principle I want you to help you to introduce to you to help you with this new year. Practicing obedience fortifies the fellowship. Because that's what he's asking this king to do, to obey the commandments. What did he ask him to do? Let's go back to our text. He said, you are to walk in my way, you are to keep, that is, practice, exercise my statutes and commandments and judgments and testimony. See, he was called in that day, Jesus did not come yet in the capacity as Messiah and King physically yet. So they were still operating under the Old Testament economy, and their faith was exercised in keeping that book. You guys know what that book was, the Torah. That book was the law. So they had to walk in front. He said, do what the book says and practice what the book says. However, as I was having a conversation with my wife coming over, here's what we keep reminding ourselves, that the law can't save you. The law only points out how bad you need Jesus. The law is short. It can't save you. Read Galatians 3. Paul said, you foolish Galatians, trying to go back to the law. And they even had issues that they got to be, these Gentiles in Acts, they got to be circumcised, they got to do this, they got to keep the law. No, Jesus is the one that met every demand of the law. Galatians 3 tells us again, it was a schoolmaster and a teacher to discipline you, put you in the order. But here's the beautiful thing about the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saved you, not the law. And it's the grace of God that gives you the capacity to understand the law and to apply the law. It's the grace of God. So he's saying, hey, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, when you practice obedience, what you're demonstrating? People that don't do the word of God, you are being dishonest with yourself, and you're not being honest with others, and you're definitely not being honest with God when you don't keep, when you don't obey, and when you don't practice the word of God. As John writes in 1 John chapter 1, around verse 5, if you don't, how can you say you're in fellowship with God when you're walking in darkness? Did you hear me? When you're walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So if I'm exercising obedience, obedience according to the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and chapter 13 and 14, the Gospel of John tells me that obedience, keeping God's commandments, demonstrate that I what? Love the Lord.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Biblical Practices That Will Place You in a Position of Prosperity. In today's message, the pastor discussed King David's direction to his son Solomon as he sought to prepare him to be king. David sought to encourage his son to follow the ways of the Lord and keep his commandments. It is also interesting to note that after years of ignoring his father's advice, Solomon eventually comes to the same conclusion himself. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon very nearly repeats his father's words that he heard many years before. His admonition to us is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. What about you? Are you seeking to honor the Lord with your life? We encourage you to remember the admonition of these two key men in Scripture so that you will enjoy prosperity in years ahead. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org. or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.